I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Any conversation on education, you start talking about languages, and then there are clearly states that have their own views on this. Some of the southern states have traditionally see this as a way of the center of imposing Hindi on them when it shouldn't be there. And it's one of those endemic things. And a lot of it is political, but I wanted your views on this, on languages.
The language in the policy is dealt with based on considerations beyond what the general perception is. The language is dealt with respect to the ability to learn, the importance of mastering a few languages, the ability to build on that capability, and the necessity to on-site appreciate the language richness of this country, the importance of learning languages for our international global role and things of that kind. So the whole scope of the policy framework that we have presented on languages is one which is a composite of these elements, in which the language at the school stage comes into picture, into focus for one reason. It is not that a three-language formula is new. It was there in the previous this thing also. We have not changed the three-language formula, number one. Number two, the content of the three-language formula, it was supposed to be only the local languages that were considered as a part of the language formula. Now it has got widened up into a larger number. So you are really covering more number of languages as a flexibility for you to learn. The third is the ability for the child to learn languages. As I said, 3 years to 8 years is extremely critical, not only for the numeracy, but for the literacy also. The language learning is very critical at that point. They have found out that if you try to stimulate those parts of the brain where the language location is there, then they grow faster. Their ability to absorb additional inputs about the language and its structure and its all the scientific elements of the language is much better done. And it also is carried forward. By the age of 8, you are able to pick up more number of languages in the later years. Actually, by investing a little more number of languages in the early years, you are also investing for a longer period with a larger number of languages. If you want to learn Japanese much later, probably if you had put enough time and enough effort into the language learning in the early phase, it has its implications. So these are the considerations. Three language formula is something we have adopted. We give it a more flexibility. And we also know that it's a flexible because you don't have to two of the languages as the Indian language, number one. Out of the two Indian languages, one has to be the local language, mother tongue, home language, or it could be regional language or local language. This is the other part of the thing. And then you can have English or some any other language, whichever you want to choose, and you can start it right from the beginning at the age of 8, 3. So there is absolutely no inhibition to learn what you want to learn. You have a three language formula because three languages is the minimum the brain which should be respected for its capability. We should not do it at two or one because we are highly suboptimal with respect to nature's gift, which we should not allow that. That is the reason for it. And ultimately, that the language formula is based on these considerations of science, considerations of pragmatism, and also the country's richness. And language is the last point I would like to make. Ultimately, if you know, in the last 50, 60 years, we have lost about 220, 230 languages. That is the kind of a way in which it is disappearing because of non-use of these kind of languages. We have at least the 22 languages of the 8th schedule have to be properly preserved. Even that is not that well managed in terms of education, in terms of its utilization, in terms of further research in these languages. Then there are a set of classical languages, which also are extremely, whether it is all the four South Indian languages or Pali or that kind of a thing, that is the other part of it. And then there is this, there's the classical modern languages. And then you have the classical language like Sanskrit. And Sanskrit is always looked up in a very different context. If you really look at the richness of the Sanskrit, it contains much more richness than Latin and Greek put together. That is the heritage of Sanskrit, running, dating back to millennia. And that culture, we need to, and culture and language are related, and therefore we need to make sure that by learning language, especially language like Sanskrit, you are enriching your system, not only with respect to Sanskrit, the entire heritage and culture of this country. And I think as India grows, becomes economically strong, it's culturally, it's very important for us to make sure that this country's rich cultural heritage is properly understood and appreciated first by Indians themselves before we also throw it out to them. This entire purpose is all very well described with respect to the language. We need to have a translation system, interpretation system, learning system, good departments in education, both in school and higher education, where we need to create school of languages. And lastly, the ability to learn also foreign languages. We are very poor. The number of foreign language specialization available in this country is better that it's not too much elaborated beyond the fact that it's highly unsatisfactory.
I think all research shows that children should learn in the mother tongue if they want to acquire language skills. And it's common sense. I mean, you know, every child learns oral language to listen and to speak. That comes naturally just in the home because you're surrounded by the language, right? But you know that reading and writing are extremely hard to learn because you have to translate sound into, you know, something artificial, which is a written language that we have constructed. And that takes a lot of work. And if it's a language you're not exposed to at home, if you can't speak the language, if you don't have a vocabulary, it is much harder to acquire the language. So for that reason alone, you know, we are already falling behind, like you said. I mean, it is absolutely critical that children learn in the mother tongue. Now, in some elite schools, if they're learning English, that's fine. You know, the parents already speak English. They may be speaking to them in English. That's a narrow universe. But if you look at UP, where it's largely Hindi that's spoken, and there are some variants as well, it is critical that they learn in Hindi or whatever the home language may be, and then transitioning to Hindi, which is the regional language. So I think it's absolutely critical. And then as Dr. Kasturi Rangam is saying also, that from a cultural perspective as well, it is absolutely critical that we preserve our languages. But in the early years, the evidence is clear. I know some states and some governments that said, let's introduce English first, make English the first language. That doesn't make sense. Actually, you're much better off introducing English a little bit later and allocating that time to learning the mother tongue. You know, have three periods a day for mother tongue. Learn to read first, and then it's much easier to switch to L2 thereafter.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.